Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What does it truly mean to be free? In this powerful episode, Ramon Garcia shares the remarkable true story behind his memoir, Three Times Free, a journey that begins under the harsh realities of communist Cuba and unfolds into a life shaped by courage, perseverance, and faith. At just 19 years old, Ramon risked everything to escape Castro's regime, choosing a dangerous voyage at sea over a life without liberty. But freedom didn't come easy. His path would include hardship, rebuilding from nothing in the United States, and even time behind bars, each chapter testing his strength and resolve. Through it all, Ramon discovered that freedom comes in layers, not just political freedom from oppression or the opportunity to build a new life, but something deeper, a spiritual freedom through faith in God. Now, in his early 80s, Ramon reflects on a lifetime of experiences and the lessons he hopes to pass on to future generations, especially the importance of never taking freedom for granted. And moving, it's a moving and inspiring conversation about resilience, faith, and the cost and value of freedom. And the author of Three Times Free, Ramon Garcia, our guest on This Week in America. Ramon, a pleasure to have you with us. What an incredible story you tell. Let's start with what readers can expect to get from reading Three Times Free. What is the message that you're trying to get across?
Well, at first, Rick, I want to thank you for this interview.
You're welcome.
This interview it's a bless to me to have that, because I escaped, as you said, in December 19, 1963. I make me and all the four friends, we hijacked a ferry full of passengers, and for our only hope, our only dream was gain freedom. I was already listed in Cuba to serve military service. I was 19 years old, and I know what's going to happen. They put in service to force you to do whatever they want. I come from the middle class family. My father was a very hardworking man. He started from the scratch as well. He started selling produce from the farmers and reselling that in the little pickup truck that he had at that time to the terminal market. At that time was a baby. And then the business increased, it started increasing in Cuba. So he bought a truck, bigger truck, and he was selling produce from our city, Oriente, Cuba, which is Banes Holguín, to Havana, which is 300 miles distant from our city. In Oriente, Cuba, we are 90 miles from Dominican Republic and 300 miles from Havana, which is the longer island. You can see it's the longer island in the island. So what I'm trying to, the answer better is, I have a dream. We all come to this earth with this earth, with a dream to be something in life. My dream was watching my father doing. I was like a little boy, 5, 6, 8 years old, after vacation from school. I was after my father, driving his truck, being with him, because at that time I was like a very close to him. I want to be like him. We are brother and sister. I have four sisters and a little boy at that time was 50 years younger than me. I was 19 at that time. So when we do the escaping, prior to that, I went to high school. While I was in the high school, I was starting being administration at the same time because I want to be like my father. See, when we come to this life, to this earth, God give us like a dream to be something. We all think different.
Yes.
And my goal was to be just like my father and be like him and helping in the business. And that was my dream. And then these communist people came over after my father was pro-Castro, helping him to win the revolution. My father was pro him, thinking that the system would be much better. And the first thing the communist system did to my father, they went to his terminal, to the warehouse that he has, collecting where he keep his produce, and confiscate his business. He said, Mr. Garcia, he had at that time two brand new trucks. From a little pickup truck, he went up to two trucks. What I remember was the 58 Chevy, six wheel, And then when he was using those trucks to fill up with produce, like a coconut, rice, all kind of plantain, and sent to Havana, which is 300 miles from my city. And the stroke used to leave at nighttime on Sunday at 6 o'clock, and arrived in Havana at the terminal market by 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's what he was used to do. So I want to be like a small businessman in Cuba, like my father was. And the first thing they did after less than a year, Castro took over. In less than a year, they went to my father's house and confiscated his truck and the business and closed the door. And now, Mr. Garcia, now everything belongs to the government. Everything is equal. We're all equal here. And I want to encourage you. You're going to lose your job. So I wanted you to work for us, for the government, and be one of us. And my father said, well, what do you have to offer? He said, well, we want to give you 3 pesos per day to show how the business. What, 3 pesos per day? Yes, 3 pesos per day. So you want to have, you have enough to eat. And that was, I was like an insult to tell a businessman.
Yes, exactly.
So if I tell you people, you have to leave the system to understand what the communist and communist system does to people. They brainwash you and they use you, and then you become a slave of them. You have to be like a slave. Whatever the government tells you to do, you got to do it.
All of this you'll read in such detail in Ramon's book, 3 Times Free, the book available wherever books are sold. Also, a movie version of this, which we will talk about, it is now available on YouTube. It's a documentary filmed 11 years ago. Ramon is in it. He was a writer as well. It's Assault to Freedom. And we've got that information on our website as well. And I'll give you that as we go through. So you've got that to look at. You've got the book to read. I can remember January 1st, 1959. I'm a young boy watching football on New Year's Day. Bulletins come on, and at that point, breaking news was actually breaking news. Batista just had to flee Cuba, and the excitement in the United States, and I think from what I read, pretty much in Cuba as well, this was going to be a change. It was led by Fidel Castro, and people got behind Castro. And boy, was there any indication it was going to, this revolution in 1959, getting rid of Batista, that it was going to end up like this with Castro? He seemed to be the knight in shining armor.
That's like an insult to us. Nothing but lies. Because Batista was a dictator. People you see all over, but you can do whatever you want. And I remember when I was, I'm 82 years old now. When I was 12 years old, I was in Havana with my father, 12 years, and I remember they were trying to build like a bridge from Key West, Florida to Havana, which is 90 miles. They were in the process of doing that. Cuba was another U.S. What the majority of the, I think more than 3 or 4 million Americans used to live in Cuba. They love the island, they have property, and they're only 90 miles apart from us. And then Castro took over and confiscates everything. Do you imagine that? You know what? I went to Cuba in 1999 with my wife and my mother-in-law. My goal was to visit my city, my town where I was born and raised, okay? I remember when I went there in 1999 with my mother-in-law was alive at that time, because my mother-in-law, my wife and I were from the same town back home in Cuba, which is Banes Oriente. And I went, when I passed by there, I passed by my house and the warehouse. The warehouse was empty, full of mice and roaches. That's what it was in that warehouse that my father had.
Yes.
Mice and roaches. That's what they have. That's the communist system is. He said, what happened? He said, well, because the government don't want to pay. Nothing happened. People don't want to work with it because they don't make money. You see, at that time I have it, my youngest cousin was the director of the hospital, a doctor. And the relationship between him and myself, that he had, that his mother is my mother's sister, and my father is my father's brother. And we grew up together. He was 1 year younger than me. And when I remember was when he was when we were kids and played together, I used to put a handkerchief in his ear, and I said, Alfonso, what do you want to do with those, with that wire ear? He said, well, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor. He said, I don't want to be a doctor. I said, I want to be like my father was. And then he became the director of the hospital in my city. There, when I went back home in Cuba in 1999, I visited him. Okay?
Yes.
His salary, $27 per month. Per month.
Per month.
Okay? The director. Okay? And he was living in a townhouse with two bedrooms. And he was, when he became pre-doctor, they forced him to share the apartment with other couples when they are graduated from the university, and they were sharing the same apartment with two bedrooms with another married couple. He knew the guy they started together in the university. But you imagine a doctor degree with it. And you know how they was making the living? They were making the living because as the director, he asked me, there were a big line at the hospital. The farmer people came over making lines at the hospital trying to get in and complaining because nobody was there to help them. And then he went out outside to the hospital with another doctor trying to see what's going on with all those farmers, the country people, you know, were doing there complaining. And they said, well, he's a line there. And he saw this guy with the turkey on his arm and another guy with the chicken and another guy with the pig. And they said, okay, let's make a line here. You, the one with the turkey, you next. And the one with the chicken after, one with the pig number three. You know why? Because they have to share medication with food. Because how can you eat with $27 per month?
Yes.
It's impossible.
Yes.
You got to do something. And that was the only way to survive.
It's just an incredible and important and powerful story. The book is called Three Times Free. The author is Ramon Garcia, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. The documentary version of this, Assault to Freedom, is on YouTube, and I'll give you a link for that as we progress during the interview. Three Times Free is a very powerful statement, the title of the book. What does it represent in your life? What does Three Times Free mean for you?
Three Times Free showing my life history, what you have to do, what you are forced to do when you lose your freedom, when you lose your dream, life lose the value. I run away from my city. I didn't finish the college because of the system, the communist closed school, but I went to work out of my town from my own town in Oriente to MOA. MOA is a nickel company, was built by the United States in MOA in Oriente, which is about 50 miles, 100, close to 100 miles from my city. So I went to work there as in the office, and away from the communist system because they closed the school. So I went to work there, and I remember the first year I met a lot of people, and they used to, I met friends, we were facing military service, and I have some friends who grew up together, and I said, look, we have to do, do we want to be a slave here? These people, if the United States invade United States, Cuba, they're going to push us in front like a human shield to be killed. I don't, you know, we're facing death here. And there's no future here. So I came with the idea. They said, look, what about if we try to escape? Well, if you read the book, you said first we were trying to hijack a plane. The plane used to go to MOA, the main company where I was working. It used to go there every week. So, but they couldn't, we changed our mind because my girlfriend was going in that plane every month to her house from the mine. And she said, forget about the plane. It's a guy, it's a miliciano working, protecting the cabinet. So forget about that. So then we saw this cargo ferry. There were three of them. After that, I saw the ferry. I said, Otto, my friend said, what about if we do take this, we go this, we take a cruise to this boat and see where that goes, and you might be able to do something about it to escape the island. If it's anything, what we do, we hijack the boat. Why not? It's better to be dead than a slave. I don't want to be a slave here all my life. I will lose my dream. So my friend backed me up. He said, let's go and try. We do expedition trip first, and we see how the people are working the system, because from Moa, where we were working, to Baracoa Oriente, you can see that is where 4 hours cruise. And that ferry boat was stopping in every corner in front different sections of the island. Took the boat about 4 hours to go from Moa to Baracoa. And we decided to make a cruise first to see how the system worked. So we became friends with the captain, the owner of the captain. That ferry has a capacity of about 60, 70 people, but has two floors. You can see the picture on the wall there. So we did the first cruise and see how what happened, and we make some notes, and we became a friend to the owner of the boat. And our way back, we took a cruise. We left like a Saturday. We came back on Monday. We asked for permit from our office, and they gave us permit to go there. So when the way back, we had some friend there. We met people there in Baracoa. And on our way back, we asked Mario was the owner of the ferry. He said, Mario, like a normal question, how you get your fluid here? We came from Moa to Baracoa, and I don't see nothing happen. How you get your fluid? Oh, sir, Ramon, you know why? Because here in Baracoa, they fill up the tank to go back to Moa round trip, which is about 8 hours. Yeah, we have enough for 8 hours. Oh. See, that was very smart to do that, because we have to see if we have enough fluid for what we have to the expedition. And I was 19 years old, and my friend backed me up, and we became friends with him. And guess what? I said to Otto was my partner friend. My friend said, Otto, we have to hijack the ferry in Baracoa. We cannot, if we do hijacking in Moa, we're going to have half a tank. Oh, yeah, we have to do it that way. Well, but Otto has his girlfriend, Frida. She was part of the group, because she, when I invite Otto to assault hijack the plane and leave the island, Frida, I was in the ocean with her. We were together. And we saw that plane running on top of our head. And I say, Otto, what you want to do? You think you will be? You have enough courage to hijack this plane and take it over to the United States? And he never answered me. The person who answered me was his girlfriend. He said, "You will do it. We do it." Wow! I said, "My brother has a gun. He got a piece of .45. He's anxious to leave the island also, because he was broadcast in the beginning and he never turned his gun. So we have my brother. I'm pretty sure if I ask that to my brother, he will come with us as well." Wow! We organized the whole thing like that. So she went back to the brother to her city, which is Preston, Central Preston, which is sugar cane product city, where you produce a lot of sugar, Preston. And when she came back, we have the whole thing. We organized the whole hijack two months prior, because we were waiting for December, Christmas. It's Christmas time where everybody leave and nobody pay attention what you're doing, because everybody anxious for Christmas. So that we have everything prepared, and we have a lot of people in that Moa. It's a mine company, like I said. The majority were single people and young people. So what day? We prepare the hijack, everything done. I asked my boss to give me, my boss he was an alcoholic because his business, and he complaining about Castro. I remember that Fidel Castro mother died. I go back in 1963, she passed, and they said my boss at the office where I was working with them, we were a team of 8 people, screaming, said, "That woman should have passed 40 years ago, so that this guy never come out, never been born and came birth." So he was complaining because his wife, mother, Castro's mother, died after he was born. And everybody was laughing in the office because nobody liked the system after he became the president of the company. That's why I asked my boss, I told him about the escape, and he was complaining about his son was every week after 2 months after paid, his son was working in different section, my boss son, and he said his name was Pepe, he said Luis Armando was my boss, my supervisor in MOA while I was working in the office, in control office. So he said, we want to hijack the ferry. We are telling my boss exactly what I'm going to do. We're leaving in 2 weeks. Everything is organized. And then what? You want your son to come with us? Fine, bring it over with us. So he came. He said, Ramon, my son here is going to die. He's getting stronger. He complained about the system all the time. And they put him in jail. But he got to do something. So I invite my supervised son to come with us as well. The whole book is a beautiful history, and that's how we got it. And we organized to escape December 19, 1963. I was 19, was on Monday. Monday that day, we went 2 days prior from MOA to Baracoa, and we all were organized. And the idea was to hijack the ferry.
Yes.
The 1963 December. So we did. Everybody was there, and then my boss son that came with us. He was from Baracoa, and he said, Ramon, my niece, my cousin, he's here. Her husband was a lieutenant with Batista, and they're searching for him to put him in jail or kill him. So, and then he said, well, he said to me, why do you think you can invite them? Sure, we can invite them. We need them. We need that guy there.
Yes.
So the time of escaping came was on Monday. We stayed there. We got to Baracoa, prepare everything on Saturday, and hijacked the ferry Monday. We spent Monday and Sunday in Baracoa Oriente, where the boat where we're living, and on Sunday afternoon, Friday, my friend who organized the hijack with me, talked to us and said, "Look, my brother, he's not coming. He's not coming. Before he don't come, don't give him the 45. Don't give him the pistol." To nobody, keep it with your purse. Are you coming with us or you want to stay? No, Frida says, I go too. I don't want, she was there with her sister, Fabiola, her sister, both girls came. Monday came, her husband, Frida brought the Nacho, who was the owner of the gun, the 45 pistol. Frida has the pistol in her purse because she was 21 years old, beautiful lady, blonde, you know, nobody want to touch that lady for nothing. She had the 45 pistol, which is her brother. And he said, she said to me, Ramon, my brother told me, if I don't go, you don't go. Don't take it. If I have any problem, she had two brothers. Both of them were supposed to show up that day after on Sunday and get in the boat and hijack the boat. But none of her brothers show up. Only Frida and Fabiola, her sister, and Fabiola have the gun. I said to Frida, was with Pepe, with Otto, my friend, my girlfriend, and we talk and say, what about you? Are you coming or not? I go. I don't stay here. And Fabiola, you come, I go also. And then, thank God, we used that guy who was experienced. He was a lieutenant of Batista, and he was with us. I met him in MOA a few days after, and he took over. We got inside on Monday, the 1963 at 10 o'clock. We jump in the boat, passenger. The first stop was in Taco Bay. You can see that in the map. First stop was there. The idea was when the boat leave Baracoa, another ferry was coming out of Moa, and they crossing both of them in the middle of the road of the ocean. And I said, we're going to hijack the boat after the one from Moa cross us. So when that cross us, they go back to Baracoa, and when they ask for La Conchita, well, La Conchita was fine. So right after the first stop that we're making in Taco Bay, coming out of the Taco Bay, which is a beautiful short with all the boats, both lots of fishing and all kind of thing goes there. So they were also in that place in Taco Bay. That was a concentration camp. I didn't know that. We didn't know that. We noticed, a lot of people serving military service, a lot of young people jumped into the boat, was like my age. About 10 of them went in, they had passed, like a permission to go yes. and be family. So right after we left, we left the Taco Bay, our boat ferry cross from the one was coming out of Moa to Baracoa, and crossing in, then we started, say hi to all of them. People say hi to each other, passing by, and we all say bye. So right after that, 20 minutes after, Mario took over the first, opened the purse of Frida. He took the 45 pistol, and we went to where Mario, the owner of the boat, said, Mario, this is an assault. Don't move. Go north, straight ahead, and don't look out. I want you to take us out of here. We don't want to kill nobody. We have an American boat waiting for us in the middle of the ocean. What's a lie? We lied to them. Make it look like somebody was waiting for us.
Yes.
American soldier was working for us in the middle of the ocean. And they came down. So I came down, Mario came down with the pistol and said hi to the whole passenger were
yes.
there. We were about, and our team was 19. Passengers were about 25, 30. And he said, with the assault to the everybody, he said, please don't, this is an assault. We have a boat waiting for us, United States ship waiting for us in the middle of the ocean near Haiti. So we don't want to hurt nobody, but we have this American ship waiting for us, and we don't hurt nobody. Just come down and wait for us. So everybody came down. Everybody started yelling. And I noticed all those military young people were coming out of the concentration camp. They try to throw away all those ID that they have. They were afraid to keep the ID, keep an ID with them, because they were afraid that we would do something to them.
Yes.
If you see the history, and then the Mario, the owner of the boat, he said to me and my partner, he said, we have no way to do it. This what we used is damaged. It is to control, to know what is, to know how, where we're going. We don't know where we're going. And I said, well, in Baracoa was if you call it the Morro, where by Spaniards, when they invade Cuba, they build like a, you can see that in Puerto Rico, a place where they keep all the soldiers, in case the pirate was fighting, where it was a big, they call it Junque. I don't know how you call that, they had like a little pole there. So that was, I was the way to leave the island with no problems. So you see the building there in Baracoa. Okay, go put the boat facing from the back facing that building in Baracoa, and keep going north out. And that's where we came. The weather was terrible. Was a hurricane.
Ooh.
The water was so strong. They used to burn our face when the hurricane comes.
Right, yes.
The face, they turn your face red, looking like a burning. And was a miracle. God was with us. It was a miracle that happened because we were going straight to the north, where hurricane coming from, to direct to the heart of the hurricane.
Ramon, the time has gone by so quickly. We've just got a few minutes left. Let's sort of talk about how that ended, and briefly I want to talk about getting over here and starting over. I mean, this is such an incredible story, and you can read all about it in Ramon's book, Three Times Free, and the movie Assault to Freedom that you'll find on YouTube. So you made it over here, and we can feel what you're going through, the anxiety in getting over here. And getting captured probably means death, so this was a very serious endeavor here. Talk about finally getting here, landing in the U.S., and then starting over. And from that, and as you read in the book, has built a very successful business here in the United States. Just sort of in a couple of minutes, sort of wrap up the trip and getting here.
Okay. This ship from New Orleans, from Norwegian. Norwegian helped us near Haiti and brought us to the United States. We arrived in Key West, Florida, on the 21st. And then the immigration took us. And then after all the paper, they put all of us inside the greenhouse from Key West, Florida to Miami. We stayed in Miami by a hotel by the name Tamiami. They were giving us only $3 per day. I have no shoes and no clothes. $3 per day. With $3 per day, we have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got cuyo. Then we were going to a whole week with the immigration department. This Cuban group was trying to training us. I give them, they were trying to, I met this Cuban group, help us, feeding us, buy them for dinner because they want to have, they need the information from us, how we escaped from Cuba because they were trying. The group of Cuba, they were trying, that's happened after by the Bay of the Pigs, right after that, a year after that. The other group routine was trying to do the same thing all over again. And they who helped them in showing them exactly what everything was in Oriente Cuba. They were trying to training us, but they didn't even invite us. But we survived because they need our information to help them. And they were giving us dinner at nighttime, during the day, every day they were giving us, because what can you do with $3 per day? And then after immigration, we stayed the whole week. The hotel was paid by the U.S. government. But after that, I was on my own. I was lucky that I have an uncle, my father's younger brother. He was working in Miami Beach at the hotel by the name Curry Long on Colling Avenue. He helped me to go there and work as a watching dishes. So I went there to wash dishes for $45 per day. I worked 2 weeks watching dishes. And then my uncle said, I want to go to Miami, I want to Washington, D.C. because I got a better job there. My uncle was single at the time. He flew to Miami, to Washington, D.C. I stayed in Miami. And then I went, the immigration department invited me to the office. And they said, Mr. Garcia, Mr. Ramon, look, in here in Miami, it's not job for you people. I go, you have an opportunity. Select any part, any section in the United States of America that you want. You would like to go and leave, but you, I think you are recommend. And then we're going to pay you for the ticket. We have to pay a ticket. You have to pay nothing. So I came to Washington D.C. My uncle was a waiter in the hotel. He took me. He took me to work as a busboy there. And when I filled out the document, I was 19 years old to work with Liquid. You have Liquid, we have to be 19. And they say, I cannot put him to work as a passport because he's only 19. But they offered me a job to work to wash dishes in the silver room, which I did. I went to wash dishes in the silver room. But you know what? A week after, I make a fake ID and I put that I was 23 years old. And I went to work but my second job, I was hired. At the Washington Hotel, which is near the White House, which is at 15th Avenue and 14th Street. I was room service busboy there, and I with my fake ID of 23 years old, I worked there for 3 months, and then from there, I went to work. I was working two jobs. I was working from 7 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock at the Washington Hotel. And then I find another job as a busboy at the Holiday Inn in Rhode Island Avenue on 16th Street. I went at the same time. So I was working there from 5 o'clock and 11 o'clock as a busboy. You know, I worked there for 3 months like that. And from there, the Washington Hilton Hotel opened up, so I went to work at the Washington Hilton Hotel as a waiter, the banquet waiter. I was 25 years old then.
Yes.
And then I started selling jewelry to my co-worker. I have a friend who introduced me. I met this Cuban factory in my Jersey.
That's how it started.
Came in jewelry. So I start buying jewelry from them because my friend recommended me to them. And that's where I started this business, buying. The name of the Cuban jewelry was the Cuban Jewelry Manufacturing, which is in Bergen Line Avenue in Union City, New Jersey. That's how I started this business. And then I started selling jewelry to my spare time at the Hilton. Because one could wait, we have plenty of free time. It was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was working hard. And that's why I started learning the business. But guess what? At that time, the answer goal was $40. Versus today, $5,000.
I go back
in 1965. So I met a lot of young girls working as a beauty salon. I met them, they bought some jewelry from me, and they was giving the catalog. I put them to work as a part-time, by commission. And that's how I started this business. I started this business as much as possible. And then in 1967, I brought all my family from Cuba. I come with the family. I got four sisters, my younger brother, my sister, and my sister was married, her husband, my father and my mother, nine all together. I brought all of them in 1967. At that time, I have $3,000 saving my account at the hotel. I rented apartment for all my family, brother, and for my brother, my sister, all of them. I rented apartment with three bedroom and 1.5 bathroom, and we fit all of us there. So I took my father to work with me as a bus boy at the Hilton. I helped my younger sister next to me, was 12 months younger than me. I find a job for her, watching her in the beauty salon at the head company. And then I took my father to work with me as a bus boy with me at the hotel. And I started selling jewelry to my co-workers. And then I got my mother. I was single at that time. My mother was my secretary, she was taking all the phone calls for the jewelry business, because I put an ad in the Spanish theater, those bulletins. I put an ad that said, "Your favorite jeweler, Ramon Garcia, 18 karat gold with credit. And I put it out there, and everybody started jumping me, buying it by credit. But the credit was given, the merchandise cost me $20. I was telling you $20 down payment, and I was selling for $40, and the other $20 you pay me later.
It's an amazing story, and we need
something
more.
Something happened to me, I lose my profit, that's it.
It's such an amazing story, and we could spend hours, and hopefully we'll have a chance to continue this story. But I tell you what, he's written a book, and you can follow it all in Ramon's book, 3 Times Free, book available wherever books are sold, and the documentary. You can see all this unfold and getting on the boat and what they went through, and you can feel the tension as they're going through all of this. It's available. It's Assault to Freedom. That's available on YouTube. It's by Tharsis Films. Our website is tharsisfilms.com. And if you Google Assault to Freedom documentary, you'll find more information on it there as well. Ramon, I apologize. Time went by way too quickly. What an incredible story. Thank you for being with us.
It's the first hijack ever made in history with success within her nobody. And I have 30 people working for me. So just watch the movie. People complain that they have, because they are Cuban, they have no opportunity. Because I'm black, I have no opportunity. Because I'm Caucasian. And it's because you're lazy. If you want, you can do it. I don't know any better than you. You can do it too.
Well, here's a guy who did it against all odds. And it's an incredible story, what he left, where he is now. And we wish we had time to talk about what's happening in Cuba now. And maybe we can do that in part two. Ramon, thank you for joining us. Ramon Garcia, our guest on the program. I want to thank King Pages Press, his marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. And you'll find all the information on Ramon on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Again, the movie Assault to Freedom, that's on YouTube. And we thank you for listening to today's program with Ramon, reminding you the video of this is up on YouTube, TWIA-TV. While you're there, subscribe. This Week in America, back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.